The following is an original production of AZPM News.
Hello, I'm Jason Schreiber with AZPM. This installment of our classical extempore is co-hosted by myself along with Michaelina Simmel, student of the University of Arizona Bolton Guitar Studies Program.
Joining us today in the studio, Australian guitarist Andrew Blanche and Argentine mezzo-soprano Maria Eugenia Nieva. Their acclaimed concert program, Spanish Romance, comes to grace St. Paul's Episcopal Church in Tucson on Tuesday, June 30th. The evening explores music from Spain and Latin America, blending classical guitar masterworks with beloved songs celebrating love. Welcome to Arizona Public Media.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much.
So, Andrew, we're going to get started with a question for you. If someone walks into Grace St. Paul's on June 30th with no idea what to expect, how would you describe the journey you're about to take them on?
That's a good question. Well, the tagline is it's a concert celebrating the Spanish guitar and music from Spanish-speaking countries and Spanish cultures, and also love and music, romance and music. So the concert is sort of in two parts. They're going to get the first half is a classical guitar recital that's going to start in the Baroque period for music written for a close relative or a close ancestor of the six-string Spanish guitar, the lute. And then I'm going to play music from classical era, romantic era, and 20th century Spain. And then I'll play three pieces from Venezuela, Argentina, Peru, and then Maria Eugenia is going to join the stage and we'll be doing some songs from all over Latin America. And so it's a 70-minute concert. We try to make it as entertaining and enjoyable and varied as possible.
Wow, the program spans several centuries, from Bach to 20th century Latin American composers. What threads connect all of this music for you, despite the differences in time, style, and geography?
I mean, for a start, definitely the instrument. So Bach's, well, I'm playing a piece that Johann Sebastian Bach wrote for the lute, and that's a multi-stringed fretted instrument plucked with the right hand. It's a very, very close relative of the guitar. And then as with all the other music, the guitar is so central to those composers' output, but also what we think of when we think of the music from Spain and the music from Latin America.
Andrew, growing up in Australia, what first drew you to the classical guitar and what eventually led you toward the Spanish repertoire in particular?
I started the guitar when I was 6 years old and I started to learn classical guitar. There was the classical guitar teacher at my school. And I think anyone who learns classical guitar is invariably going to be playing music from Spain and music from Latin America. It's built into the repertoire right from the very beginning. So really, I always played it and I always loved it and enjoyed it. And I can think back to pieces when I played when I was 8, 9, 10 years old from Spain that I really loved, that I just really enjoyed playing. So, and I'm playing some of the same composers in this concert now, because Fernando Sor not only wrote some simple studies for beginners to use, but he also wrote some very complex concert music as well.
Was there a particular guitarist that opened that door for you?
Yeah, for me, the Australian guitarist John Williams was always a big influence on me. And he made an album actually called Spanish Guitar Music, which I don't know how many times I played that. It's just one of my favorite albums of that music.
You perform together so naturally that audiences often wonder about the story behind the partnership. How did the two of you meet? And when did you realize there was both a musical and personal connection?
We met in Australia. I was taking a holiday from life and I decided, okay, I'm going to Australia with my best friend for a couple of months. And I actually at some point decided, okay, I want to do music here. I don't want to just have fun. I was missing music. So I started teaching. And while I was teaching, someone overheard me and it came up to me and said, hey, you actually, your voice is beautiful. Where are you from? What is your story? What are you doing here? So I told them I am a mezzo-soprano from Argentina. I am just on a holiday. And he told me instantly, oh, I know a guitarist that loves Latin American music and he will be very happy to meet you. So he introduced us and we met for a coffee and a long walk in Bondi Beach in Sydney. And then we were friends for 2 months and we hang out until we realized we were into more than a friendship. And then I never left Australia. And well, after maybe 4 months or something, we started playing together. And that was 3 years ago or something like that.
Wow.
If I can add to that, I think early on in our relationship, we would often have these nights at home where we'd eat very late. We'd be in the kitchen with a bottle of red wine, playing beautiful Argentinian music and cooking pasta or steak or whatever, staying up to midnight and 1 a.m. Having these long sort of dinners. And then, after a couple months, we started doing it ourselves. And so instead of listening to that music, we started playing it together.
We also had a lot of friends that they were like, oh, when are you playing together? We want to hear you. So we had a little bit of pressure, but we always knew we wanted to do it for ourselves. But then, everyone was excited about us playing together.
How long was the evolution from being just a collaboration into actually touring?
I don't know exactly. I never sort of keep track of these things. It always feels quite organic to me. Mm-hmm. Between 6 months and a year, but I'm not sure exactly when that was. We just put together song by song.
Okay.
And eventually seemed like we could start doing some concerts together.
Andrew, you're from Australia and Maria is from Argentina. How have your cultures shaped the music you make together? And what have you learned from one another, both musically and personally?
I mean, coming from Australia, if you're a classical musician, except when you're, performing Australian classical music, I feel like it's really normal for us to look outside our country, outside our continent, and explore that music. If you're an American classical musician as well and you're playing Vivaldi, it's quite normal to sort of look into that culture's music and discover stylistically what makes that music tick. So I'm very used to diving into other cultures. And I think that partly comes from being Australian and being open-minded and just loving music of the world. But one of the things that I learned the most working with Elke, I think, has to do with her being a singer as opposed to an instrumentalist, because they tend to think about music in a slightly different way. There are different priorities. The words and the storyline is actually very important for a singer in the interpretation that they want to give. And that's something as an instrumentalist, you just tend to not give much thought to. You're really sort of buried deep in the nerdy sides of harmony and rhythm and maybe the shape of the melody, but not necessarily what words there might be and what those words might mean.
For me, it's the exact opposite. So I was always pretty much into the story, and I wanted to transmit a message and people to understand, even if they don't speak the language that I am singing. But with Andrew, it was he's more about like rhythmics and patterns. So actually paying more attention to those things, how that enhanced the story as well, and how that could also be part of telling the story, maybe playing more with those musical parts. Of course, I was working into that, but I think guitarists in particular, you have made a lot of intention about mentioning how much the rhythm, it's a vital part of everything. So,
the concert features songs about love, longing, nostalgia, joy, and connection. What do you think audiences connect with most in these songs?
Well, when it is a Latin American person, it's pretty easy because we all have the same parents and they all put this music on the radio. And so they come to me saying, oh, my mom sang this song to me. My dad played in the guitar. So we all grew up, listening to this music. So that's just beautiful. It's a direct connection to your roots, your family, and your culture. So that's just beautiful. But with the guitar is something also very particular.
Well, I mean, even with the songs, my dad loves this music and he doesn't understand a single word of Spanish. And they're just so beautifully written. They really transmit the emotions very well. And the messages that are in the music are very particular stories to a person, but they're very universal as well. They're stories about love and the importance of familial relationships and being grateful, for life or trying to live in the moment. And these are, really universal values that I think we all appreciate.
Is there a particular song on the program that feels especially meaningful or personal to you?
To me, every year we sing and perform a different repertoire. And this year we're performing Gracias a la Vida by Violeta Parra, a Chilean composer, and Mercedes Sosa, singer from Argentina, has made that song really famous. And to me, that song, it has like such a deep connection into my soul. I start singing that song and suddenly every time it's a new experience, it's more deep. It's wonderful what she did with the lyrics and that melody that is so iconic. And I see people crying every time I sing that song, and I need to hold myself. And at some point I say, Euge, now you need to come and keep performing. because it's just the lyrics and the melodies are just perfect. They go together. Amazing.
For me, no, not in a particular song. I mean, particularly for the solo classical guitar recital element, I've really tried to program it so every piece has a place and balances out the pieces around it. So yeah, I'm particularly pleased with the overall flow and the overall arc of the concert as a whole.
And this is not your fourth US tour. How do you keep the performances fresh and maintain that sense of joy and spontaneity night after night?
It's pretty easy. We love music. We love playing together. We love playing for audiences. Even if we're tired, you know, driving to the gig or unloading things, as soon as whatever, 5 minutes before we have to walk on or 10 minutes or we're warming up, you get that excitement. And I've never not been on stage and just excited to play and just be in the moment. It's what it's all about, you know?
Right.
It's why we're here.
Have audiences in different cities surprised you in any way?
I love the warmth of people from the United States. Every city we go, we connect with very deeply with some people, but in general with everyone. People are just very generous, happy to give you a compliment or to connect with you in whatever ways they can. And I find that very special. They show their appreciation and they are very excited for you to be there as well. And I really value everyone that comes and say, I enjoyed this because of this. I love to chat with people. I actually get very excited and keep singing at the lobby after every concert. And Andrew's like, Euge, you need to save your voice because I just get so excited to meet everyone each time.
And over the years, has there been a particularly memorable concert moment that has stayed with you?
Again, not particularly. Like many, many memorable concert moments, definitely. I can't pinpoint one exactly. No, I'm always really happy with, you know, the most recent one. I really try to take every day, one day at a time, and just really enjoy things.
As we wrap up, what's one thing you'd especially like Tucson audiences to listen for or take away from the evening?
I mean, at a fundamental level, you know, we try to present the best, you know, interpretations and performances of this music that we can. We strive for the best in ourselves artistically and to give that to you, to the audience. We think that's our duty, but we also want to entertain the audience. So we want you to just come there and enjoy yourself and be happy. Because I think that's ultimately what we're all trying to do. It's, you know, being a classical musician, we can get kind of caught up in the greatness of the repertoire. And it is really great repertoire, you know, masterpieces and so on. But music should be there just to make us happy, to move us, to make our hairs stand on end, or to make us cry, or to make us laugh. So that's all I want to do. I just want us to all enjoy ourselves. And I want the audience to enjoy themselves as much as I do performing on stage.
Is there anything else that you guys want to share with us?
Tickets can be purchased online at concerts.andrewblanch.com. And we have many other tour dates throughout the country. So there are many different cities they could go to if they can't make it to Tucson or Phoenix.
Andrew Blanch and Maria Eugenia Nieva bring Spanish Romance to Grace St. Paul's Episcopal Church on Tuesday, June 30th at 7 p.m. Thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
For AZPM, I'm Jason Schreiber.
And I'm Michaelina Simmel.
This has been an original production of AZPM News.